To their excellencies, Von Unterduck and Rubadub, President and Vice President of the State's College of Astronomers in the city of Rotterdam. Your excellencies may perhaps be able to remember an humble artisan by name Hans Fall, and by occupation a mender of bellows, who with three others disappeared from Rotterdam about 5 years ago in a manner which must have been considered unaccountable. If, however, it so please your excellencies, I, the writer of this communication, am the identical Hans Fall himself. It is well known to most of my fellow citizens that for the period of 40 years I continued to occupy the little square brick building at the head of the alley called Sauerkraut, in which I resided at the time of my disappearance. My ancestors have also resided therein, time out of mind, they, as well as myself, steadily following the respectable and indeed lucrative profession of mending of bellows. For to speak the truth, until of late years, that the heads of all the people have been set agog with politics, no better business than my own could an honest citizen of Rotterdam either desire or deserve. Credit was good, employment was never wanting, and there was no lack of either money or goodwill. But, as I was saying, we soon began to feel the effects of liberty and long speeches and radicalism and all that sort of thing. People who were formerly the very best customers in the world had now not a moment of time to think of us at all. They had as much as they could do to read about the revolutions and to keep up with the march of intellect and the spirit of the age. If a fire wanted fanning, it could readily be fanned with a newspaper. And as the government grew weaker, I have no doubt that leather and iron acquired durability in proportion, for in a very short time there was not a pair of bellows in all Rotterdam that ever stood in need of a stitch or required the assistance of a hammer. This was a state of things not to be endured. I soon grew as poor as a rat, and, having a wife and children to provide for, my burdens at length became intolerable, and I spent hour after hour in reflecting upon the most convenient method of putting an end to my life. Duns, in the meantime, left me little leisure for contemplation. My house was literally besieged from morning till night. There were three fellows in particular who worried me beyond endurance, keeping watch continually about my door and threatening me with the law. Upon these three I vowed the bitterest revenge, if ever I should be so happy as to get them within my clutches, and I believe nothing in the world but the pleasure of this anticipation prevented me from putting my plan of suicide into immediate execution by blowing my brains out with a blunderbuss. I thought it best, however, to dissemble my wrath and to treat them with promises and fair words until, by some good turn of fate, an opportunity of vengeance should be afforded me. One day, having given them the slip and feeling more than usually dejected, I continued for a long time to wander about the most obscure streets without object, until, at length, I chanced to stumble against the corner of a bookseller's stall. Seeing a chair close at hand for the use of customers, I threw myself doggedly into it, and, hardly knowing why, opened the pages of the first volume which came within my reach. It proved to be a small pamphlet treatise on speculative astronomy, written either by Professor Encke of Berlin or by a Frenchman of somewhat similar name. I had some little tincture of information on matters of this nature, and soon became more and more absorbed in the contents of the book, reading it actually through twice before I awoke to a recollection of what was passing around me. By this time it began to grow dark, and I directed my steps toward home.